Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It refreshes me. It strengthens me. I love to read my Bible. It is so true. We have to have it. Boy, this sounds so loud. Is this too loud? No, it's okay. All right. Well, you have your little notes there. I was telling Joy I might have some extra little scriptures to share, because after I sent the notes in to be copied for the class, I thought, I need to include this scripture too. So just add it yourself. You can do that. So let's begin with prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time together and for your precious word. We're so thankful for what you've done for us and providing so well for us as we live on this earth. And you've taken care of it all. And Lord, we love you and we trust you and we thank you. I just pray that tonight's message will really bless the hearts of the people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you see little notes, the victory of the cross. We're approaching Easter. Really my favorite celebration of all the things we celebrate. My heart just gets so full and appreciative of what Jesus did for us on Calvary and the victory that he gave us for us. But it's a beautiful, beautiful time of the year, and we really need to focus on what actually happened rather than just Easter and resurrection. There was so much more that took place in order for him to have the victory that he's gained for us. So we're just going to begin with a few scriptures, then I believe the Lord's going to really magnify an area that you really need to have in your arsenal, so to speak, of your warfare that we fight to win in life. But when he went to the pits of hell, that we know that it was an awful combat. We don't know what took place there, but it wasn't easy. What he did for us was not an easy thing. But we know who won. Praise God. He rose victorious, and that's why we're able to celebrate Resurrection Sunday in a few weeks, and so thankful for what he did for us when he went to the cross. I wanted to start with a scripture. I have it written, typed on your page out of the NLT, but I want to read it out of the New King James first. It's Colossians 2, verse 13, in the New King James. It says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed or spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross." A public spectacle. That means he just, in the portals of hell, the devil thought he had him. He thought he won. And Jesus just showed off down there. He said, "Oh, no. The devil was shamed in front of all of his cohorts, in front of all his demons, in front of all his evil beings that are in hell with him." And he was shamed, and because Jesus is the one that defeated him right in his own territory, right in his own place, you know. He made a show of him. I just love that scripture, how it emphasizes he just really showed off in front of the devil's stuff, you know, and the evil beings that are with him there. Out of the New Living Translation, I want to read it as well. It says, "You who were dead, spiritually dead, because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away." And that's what circumcision, the word circumcision, it means cut away. So our sinful nature was not yet cut away. "Then God made you alive with Christ, when he forgave all of our sins and he canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, which is the devil and his cohorts. He shamed them publicly. He shamed them in front of all of his beings by victory over them on the cross. And this is a picture of what took place spiritually. And if you read Pastor Allen's devotion today, if you don't read his devotions, do, because they're little mini sermons and they really will enlighten you in areas of scripture that we're studying that particular day. They are really, really anointed and so helpful. But he said in his devotional today, he said, there are spiritual realities that our minds cannot grasp. We can't see it with our natural mind, but we just believe it because the Bible says it. It's a spiritual thing that did take place, and thank God it did, because that's why we are able to live victoriously in life. And he talked about the victory that he gained for us. And that's what I want to focus on and concentrate on tonight, is that victory of the cross and what he did for us and gave us everything we need to live successfully and to win battles. And we are in a warfare. Paul told Timothy, he said, war a good warfare. And we are told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we are in a spiritual battle, but we are well equipped, and we are to come through every thing that we go through in this life that is a challenge, that is something that the enemy's trying to win over us. We have what we need to come through and win every time. And that's what I just want to emphasize tonight, that we are winners. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it was gained at Calvary. He gained the victory for us, just as the scripture says. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them. The enemy has been defeated. He has already been defeated. So when we go out into our areas of combat, so to speak, spiritually, and we deal with things in life that we need answers for, we need to win in some things that come against us. And since this is a healing class, we emphasize healing here. So everything that comes against your physical body, victory has already been gained for you there. So we are teaching you in this class how to walk in that victory. And so I just want you to really have emphasized to you tonight, victory. Victory. I know there's it's called a battle cry. So that means going into a battle, if you have something come against your body, going into that battle to get your healing, you have a battle cry of victory. I don't know what is going to go on between now and when I see things in my body change, but I've got victory because the Bible says I have victory. So get that in your heart. You are winners. Jesus has already made you winners. And every conflict of life, you are to win. So healing is absolutely a most wonderful, wonderful thing the Lord has done for us. The enemy has used sickness and disease to really take away from God's people. And what he does, stealing and killing and destroying, sickness is, it'll do that. You know that. It will take a life too soon. Or it will take some, you know, the finances away from a family or just quality of life. And I know it's a challenge. It's something that's not easy to deal with sometimes because you have real pain in your body. You have real situations and circumstances and symptoms that are hard. But, you know, in the midst of that, we have to keep before us, I'm coming through this because he has given me victory. I have victory. It should be your battle cry going into everything, every challenge, everything that the enemy tries to bring against your body. If you wake up and you have this awful thing going on in your body, say, thank God, I don't know what this is all about, but I know I have victory. And I have his word to show me and walk me through this because he's with me. He will not leave me. And he has a win for me in everything you deal with. The New Testament word for victory is triumph. So there's another real powerful word. We triumph in Christ. The defeat of the enemy, he was triumphed over. So that means he cannot successfully keep you in a place of pain and misery and sickness if we take our stand and receive what God has for us through his precious word, knowing that we have been promised through the word of God that he has provided that healing anointing for us as we receive it, and it'll begin to work in our bodies as we receive that by faith. So I know it excites the Lord when we step into faith and allow him to do what he wants to do, because he has to have our faith, our trust in his word, and really he needs us to really have a mindset of victory, triumph. I'm going to win in this. Jesus is our champion. He did this for us. I like what one minister calls him. He said, he's my hero. He should be our hero because we know that he did this for us. He walked into the very pits of hell and defeated the enemy for us and rose victorious, because we know sickness and disease comes from the devil. He's the author of sickness and disease. When God made the earth and put Adam and Eve in the garden, there was no sickness and disease. It was a perfect place. It was well. It was very good. He looked at it and said, this is very good. Well, when did it come? When did sickness come? It came when Satan tempted Eve, and then her husband partook of the same thing that she did, the fruit, and they both died spiritually. That's when sickness began to be able to function in the earth. But when Jesus went to the cross, he took care of the sin problem. We know that very well. But with that, the sickness problem was taken care of along with it. If the sin problem's taken care of, the sickness problem is too, because they're connected together. that's how sickness came into this planet, was through the fall of man and sin. The Old Testament word for victory means to be free, to be safe, rescued. Savior, it also meant the word Savior. I thought that was very interesting, but I love the words freedom. And that's what this victory in the Old Testament word means. And that comes from Psalm 98:1. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory." That's the power of God that gained him the victory. He is so powerful. God's power has not waned. It has not decreased. And it's the power that lives in you and me, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me as born-again believers. So just all of these things we really need to grab a hold of, because we are living in this fallen world and we are going to deal with sickness all of our lives. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything bad, but it's the truth, you know, because the devil's not going to step back and say, well, I don't think I'm going to bother anybody that belongs to the Lord with sickness anymore. I mean, that's just not how he operates. He's going to get to you if he can. But we have a way that we can stand in freedom and win every time. And it's available to all of us through his word. Victory and triumph and freedom are God's language and God's words. And they need to be our language and our words too. Something that we need to get into our mouths are good, strong confessions. And being confessing the word is just saying the same thing that the word says. And that's something you need to know, that victory is a word that will keep you really positive, and it will keep you hopeful, and it will keep you going in the direction of winning. And that's what we want to do every time sickness comes against your body. You want to come through that. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it, it, it can be used a ploy of the, it's a ploy of the enemy to hear words like, this is very serious, or there's no cure for this, or this is terminal. And that's a death sentence from the devil, especially this is terminal. There's no cure, but those are not the last words. We have the last words because we can say, no. I have victory, and I'm coming through this. And if you hear a diagnosis or something like that said to you from somebody in the medical profession, don't take that final word. No, it is a word that can be overcome through the word of God because he has provided healing. He has given us the victory. And we need to say, no, I refuse that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to win in this. I don't know how long this, you know, this might take to walk this out, but I'm going to have victory because the Bible says I can have victory, that he has given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So get that in your heads. If that's what you can get out of this class tonight, he's given me victory. I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer. I can win in life. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So when we believe this word and we act on this word, that's faith. You receive it into your heart. Faith is not sight. It's not what you see out here. Faith is what this word says. And when this word says it, we can believe it. We can act on it. And it will work and operate for us. So know that faith has to be from the word of God. It has to come from your heart. It's not a mental thing. It's not sight stuff. It's what Bible says. No matter what is going on in your physical body, what does the word of God say? We've studied so much in here, and I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah 53 in a little bit from a translation that I haven't used in a while. But he has already provided healing for us by the stripes that were put upon the back of Jesus. We know that. And that took place. That was the part of the victory as he went to Calvary. He had those stripes, those wounds that were placed on his back for our healing. So it's done, folks. It's settled. It is done. You have been healed. You have been set free. You have been given victory. And it's up to you to take that, believe that, to get that in your heart and in your mouth. That's what faith does. It gets in your heart and in your mouth, and you speak it, and you say what the word says. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. He has given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. My faith overcomes the world. So use all those wonderful truths as your confession, as what you speak out of your mouth. Don't, you know, if you look at a diagnosis, and I know there's some serious stuff out there, but and if you, you know, have to use medical things as an aid, take what you take with a scripture. Say, okay, I'm taking this pill, but I'm taking it with a scripture. The scripture says, he forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. The scripture says that by his stripes I have been healed. The scripture says himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Get that so coming out of your mouth. And if it doesn't really resonate at the very beginning, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. It's life. It's truth and it's powerful. And it will change your body. It will change your mind. It will change your thinking. So the word. Just get with this. Stay with this. Praise the Lord for his powerful word. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do have it. It is already a settled fact. And it will work every time. Every time it will work as you stay with the truth. If you stay with just being so adamant about I'm not quitting through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. I like instant too. Everybody likes instant. You're like, ooh, this is good. This lifted off of me really quick. I like that. But sometimes that doesn't happen. When it doesn't, you just dig your heels in. No, this word is true, and I believe it. I have received healing from this word. I have victory, and I'm winning. I'm coming out of this ahead. I'm coming out of this healed and whole in every way because God's word is true, it's powerful, and it will not fail me. God can be trusted. He is so truthful. He is so faithful. His word is true. In Colossians 1:13, I don't think I have that one on your paper, but you can write that down. Colossians 1:13. This is something I think, this is a scripture that would really help you to really meditate on this really, really consistently. This is a scripture that I really fell in love with when I received the Lord and began to learn about healing. It says, verse 13 of Colossians 1 says, He has delivered us from the power, and that means authority, of darkness, and translated us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You are not in a dark kingdom anymore, where sickness and disease rule and reign. You have been delivered out of that kingdom. You are in the kingdom of light and life and love and victory. That's where we live. That's where God sees us as being. So we don't need our language. We don't need our thoughts to still be over here in this kingdom of darkness. That kingdom is actually it's called the kingdom of the tyranny of darkness. And doesn't that fit? Tyranny? I mean, that's just really, that's how the enemy operates. He's just a tyrant. He's just against us. He's against anything that has God connected to it. So we have been delivered. Hallelujah. We're free. We're not there anymore. And if we're delivered, we need to live like we're delivered. We don't need to receive the dark stuff and receive the heavy stuff and the painful and the destructive stuff on our bodies. Do not receive it. When it tries to come against you, you can start saying, nope, that's not mine. I don't live in that kingdom where there's the sickness and disease and darkness and the tyranny. I live in the kingdom of love and light and life, in the kingdom of His dear Son. So your language is really, really important here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Alan mentioned this on Sunday, and I had mentioned it in the healing class that I teach on Sunday. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat its fruit. So our life, we need life out of this mouth in our words. Life, speak life, speak the word. What does the word say? Just stay with the word. 1 John 3:8 says, For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy or release us from the works or the acts, the deeds, and the doings of the devil. And the devil's works are described in John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So his killing, stealing, and destroying, it's from the enemy. There are two kingdoms in this world. There's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of light. And we know who rules each one. We know we have a defeated enemy that we have to stand up with too and say, no, I'm not a part of your kingdom. That does not belong to me. I'm not receiving that. I'm not having the things of the darkness. I'm not having the sickness and disease. It does not belong to me. And as long as I've been doing this for many years, I still make those confessions. Something tries to come on me and I'll say, no. That does not belong to me. I'm God's. Jesus purchased me and He made me a temple of God. I am the body of Christ. So all of these things that you're learning now, you will use all your life with your battle of faith, fighting the fight of faith. So it's a good fight. It's a fight we win. It's a good warfare. Hebrews 2, verse 14. I don't have that on your notes either, but it's, you can jot that down. Hebrews 2:14 As inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy or paralyze. That word is paralyze, and that means to render inoperative. And we do that, we render him inoperative, and we paralyze him with our authority, standing against him in the name of Jesus. Say, no, you are paralyzed. I will not allow you to function against my life. I will not allow you to win. I have the victory. We're going to keep saying that all night long. Victory is ours. So we do combat with the enemy with our mouth and our sword, which is the word of God. We speak what the word says, and this is a good scripture to have in your arsenal as well. Just speaking what the word says. No, Jesus came, shared in a flesh and blood body. When he died, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And he made him have no legal force. He doesn't have a legal force. He still is operating, we know that. But it's illegal. He's not supposed to do that against us. So it's our position as the spiritual police over our lives to say that is not allowed. I refuse that. So no, this is what the word says about you. Jesus defeated you. He destroyed you. That means that if I stand against you, devil, you are paralyzed. You cannot operate against my life. So you cannot continue to take from me and bring sickness and debilitating conditions on my body. So that is that's another really, really good scripture for you to have in your memory, in your word, in your mouth. Rotherham's translation of verse 14, it says, in order that through death he might, again, destroy or paralyze him that had the dominion over death. The dominion over death, and that means to bring to inability to act. He paralyzed him, brought him to an inability to act. So that's what we do with our faith. We say, no enemy, you are defeated. The God's word says you've been brought to an inability to act. So he has to obey. He has to obey the word. He has to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. He has to yield to the word, because we know when Jesus was tempted, he brought out the sword of the Spirit and said, it is written. And the devil stopped. And he said it again, it is written. And the devil stopped. And then he said it again, it is written. And the devil stopped and left. So that use that sword, which is the word of God. Just rip it out and say, wait a minute, this is what the word says. And I am telling you, devil, you have to desist in your maneuvers and mannerisms against me. I'm not having it. That does not belong to me. Sickness does not belong to me. Jesus lifted it off of me and carried it away from me. So I am free. I have victory. All right, I am going to go to Isaiah 53. You have that on your paper. I did get that one on your paper, I believe. And this is out of this is out of a different translation you may not have heard before, but I think it's really a good one, because it says says things that we need to hear in a little bit different way from what we're used to reading out of the New King James or the translations we're normally used to. But this is from a man named Isaac Leeser. He was a Jewish rabbi in America, and he translated the Hebrew Old Testament into English. He was the first one who did that. And he did that for the American Jews, because the American Jews were reading the Christian's Bible. And he wasn't happy about that, because they don't believe in the New Testament. So anyway, he translated this out of the original text, the Hebrew text. And I think it's really very delightful. I love it. He was despised and shunned of men. This is Isaiah 53:3-5. He was despised and shunned of men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease. And as one who hid his face from us, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But only our diseases did he himself bear himself, and our pains he carried. While we indeed esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, yet he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and through his bruises healing was granted to us. Granted. I love that. That's a different term. We don't see that in our translations that we normally read. Granted is to hand it over to you. It's been handed over to it. And he uses the word was. He puts it in a past tense form. And it's like, okay, this is what... And he didn't see this as Jesus because they didn't believe in the Messiah, Jesus as a Messiah. So he saw this, I don't know what they saw this as, is that I think they look at this as being the Hebrew nation. I don't understand that, but I know when this is brought out, and I've watched some little videos, when this scripture is brought out to Jewish people, and they really, some of them are very amazed that this means Jesus. And in doing so, they will accept Jesus as a Messiah. But this has kind of been hidden to the Jewish people and the real meaning of it. But we know what it means because we believe that this is a prophecy that and we know it's the truth, that this is a prophecy that Isaiah had looking toward Calvary. So this is what he saw. He saw this victory of the cross through him bearing our sickness and our pains, and that our transgressions, our sins were forgiven, and then their healings were granted to us. And the bruises or wounds are blow upon blow. So it wasn't just, and this is really more realistic than the stripes, because you think of a stripe and it's a little spaghetti stripe thing, but that is not what happened at all. It was very, very tormenting, and it was just an awful thing that our master went through that we might have healing. But healing was granted. It was handed over to us. And as I thought about this, I thought, well, you know, we have things handed over to us, like at Christmas. Somebody's under the tree getting presents out, and they look at one and they'll say, okay, this one belongs to you, and they hand it over to you. And I thought, that's what healing is. This belongs to you. This one belongs to you. It's healing. It's freedom. It's victory. It's every good thing that you could need for your physical body to live life a long time and live free from sickness and disease and live free from pain. This is handed over to you. He granted it to you. So accept that. I have had healing granted to me. It's been handed over to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when sickness comes against my body, when there's a diagnosis, when pain hits me, I have healing that's in my hands. It's been handed to me. What I have to do is accept it, thank the Lord for it, receive that freedom, and walk it out. Walk till you see the total manifestation of it, because it'll come. Faith works. The manifestation will come. Your believing is your part. The manifestation is the Lord's part. And he is so faithful. I like to think of it this way. The minute you believe, it puts him into action. The minute you step out in faith, believing this word, it puts God into action. He begins to do things in your body. It starts in the spirit, because healing comes from the heart, because faith is of the heart. When you receive it in the heart, in your spirit man, the inner man, the inner being, then it begins to work until it comes out into the physical realm to where you feel it or see it. And victory, freedom, triumph, it's great. It's great. It's great. It doesn't have to be something, just a serious thing. Use it on small things, you know, things that really aren't a very serious nature. Just receive your healing for it. You'll be blessed, and your faith will grow, and you'll begin to gain more and more strength for your faith, for healing, because down the road there may be a more serious thing come. So you need the faith for it. You need to get strong in your healing now. The victory of the cross, of course, it was just amazing. Sins forgiven, healing granted, and And the last thing I just wanted to kind of focus on was the chastisement for our peace. He bore the cruelty and the destruction of our mental capacity and condition so that we would have peace. There's a lot of mental things going on now that people are dealing with, but he has gained peace for that. And we need to be able to receive that and thank you, Lord. You have gained peace for me here with my mind and my body too. I like in Mark 5:34, our sweet little Shunammite woman we teach so much about, when in verse 34, when Jesus told her that her faith made her well, he said, go in peace and be whole of your plague, of your affliction or your plague. Be whole. Peace brings wholeness, completeness, total well-being, peace. So we need to receive peace for our minds, peace for our bodies, peace for our just to be able to, you know, not be in anxiety or concern or worry or just tormented. The Lord has peace, and we need to receive that as well because it was done on Calvary. The victory of the cross included our peace. And it's Hebrew word is shalom. The Greek word is irene, and they both pretty much mean the same, but it's that completeness, that well-being, that it's a calm, it's a not agitated, or it's tranquility and peace. If you've ever been in a place where you haven't had peace, you know what it's like when you do have it. It's such a different experience. So that's for you as well. I know as we read the scriptures, there are scriptures that will bring comfort to us. And of course, that will bring peace because the Bible talks about the comfort of the scriptures. But they're in the Psalms. There's so many Psalms that will just bring such a calm and a peace to you. If you just get in the Psalms and just, you know, read them, meditate them, let them roll into your heart and mind and just rest there and begin to receive that peace that comes from the Word. But I wanted to look at Psalm 23. It's called the Shepherd's Psalm. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there to Psalm 23. But Psalm 23 like I said, the Shepherd's Psalm. And Psalm 100, verse 3, calls us sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. So this little Shepherd's Psalm really applies to sheep. So because David was a shepherd and he penned this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it gives us a picture of the great Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Prince of Peace. And he wants us to live in peace when we have things come against our lives. So we all do. We all do that try to disrupt our peace. We can stop and say, wait, I'm not going to stay here. I have peace. He's my Prince of Peace. He has gained peace for me, and I receive that. And that's the basis of everything we get from the Lord. We receive it. We take it. We thank him for it. I thank you for this, Lord. You know, just don't stay in a place of just torments or agitation. Go to the scripture. This is an awesome little scripture. I'm going to go over things, each verse, and mention a few things that you may not have thought about. But we don't just read over these so quickly. Let's stop and let's think about what they really mean to us. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So that word want is lack. Another word is lack. He doesn't want us to lack on anything. He doesn't want you to lack with anything in life. We may not have an abundance of in one area at any point, but we don't need to stay in that particular place. Let's believe God. You know, use your faith. Use your faith. We just really need to use our faith. We have faith. The Lord has given to all of us a measure of faith, and it's a measure of his. Where did he get the faith to give it to us? It's from him. It's his faith. Everybody has a measure of it, and we can cause it to grow, but what the measure you have can receive anything. It says that just a little bit of faith can move a mountain. So use what you got. And if you're not familiar with doing this, start. start. Faith is wonderful. It's amazing. I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And to me, as I was reading that, it means pastures of sweet, tender grass. I thought about little sheep, and I thought they're coming up through this grass. And I thought, yum. You know, this is just the best grass. This is so tender and sweet. And that's what he has for you. He wants tender and sweet things for your life. He leads me beside still, restful waters. Sheep will not drink from anything that's running like a river or anything flowing. They have to have something very still and restful. But these restful waters also apply to blessing and refreshing. Just let the Lord refresh you. Let him refresh you. Get into these scriptures and sit there and let him refresh you. I know yesterday morning in staff prayer, we've just been praying in the spirit a while, and our sweet Tony was playing on the keyboard, and I was just sitting there and began to just think about what a wonderful, wonderful Lord we have, and how beautiful he is and sweet, and just this praise began to come out of my mouth, and it was just really something that I didn't think in my head. It was something that was just coming out of my heart. And I thought, Lord, this is available to all of us all the time. We can just get still and quiet and start to think about how wonderful he is and how precious he is to us and what he's done for us and what he did for us at Calvary, how he went through such torments and awful things for us to live in a sweet place like this psalm talks about. So just get quiet before the Lord and let these psalms really wash over your heart and refresh you. It says, verse 3, he restores my soul, and this actually means he restores my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness. I love righteousness. It's what ought to be. Very simple. It's being at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. He'll lead us there. That's where we need to be. For his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, that can be a dark place you're going through, but it's where we live now. We live in a valley of the shadow of death, so to speak. We live on this earth that is, you know, has been really turned over to the enemy to do his evil stuff. So there can be a lot of darkness around us, but he wants to really walk with us. And he does. So let him hold his hand if it helps you. But it could be, a trial or test of life. It could be a sickness that really a very serious diagnosis. And he takes your hand and he says, okay, we're going to make it. And you're going to win. I have victory for you here. He says, I feel no evil or tragedy, for you are with me. This is interesting because David began to talk. He was talking about the shepherd, and then he began to talk to the shepherd. He said, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, protecting, guiding, comforting, and extending compassion. That's what that means. He will protect you, guide you, comfort you, and extend compassion. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is what I've been teaching on the Sunday morning class, a table prepared, because that table contains healing. Healing bread. It's interesting that healing is called in the New Testament children's bread. So there's bread on that table for you. It's there. It's for you to take with your faith, receive it, and enjoy it. You anoint my head with oil. That's his presence with us. My cup runs over. He's an abundant God. His provision is more than enough. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's his kindness and love. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am so glad I'll see you all in heaven. That will be so much fun. We will just absolutely have a ball up there talking about healing class and what happened and how you received your healing and you lived out your life to the full end of it, Don't quit living this life until you're ready to go. It says he satisfies us with long life. So stay until you're satisfied. I'm getting up there, but I plan on staying until I'm satisfied. I believe all of you are too. And we will have sweet times of, I'm serious, we will see each other in heaven someday, and we will have sweet times of fellowship. Just talking about the ark and how we were so blessed to be a part of this amazing ministry and what the Lord did for us here. But the beauty of God's love and care for his children is so clear in this psalm. It's just so precious. So we can reap its benefits, but as everything, we take it with our faith. Lord, that's mine, so I'm going to have that. I receive that. I receive that. I don't resist these things. I receive it. You know, Mark 11:24. In the King James says, therefore I say, this is Jesus. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is your faith. Believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see anything. That's not faith. Faith isn't sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is not what you see. Faith is what this word says. Believing it in your heart, stepping out, being obedient to it, acting on it without fear and doubt. Say, this is what the word says. I'm stepping out on this. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. So I'm stepping out on that. And that pleases the Lord so much. When he sees faith, I'm telling you, he stops. We see that in the scriptures. We see that in the gospels. He stopped for faith. He loves it. So for somebody to trust him and believe his word, oh, he smiles big over that. I know he does. But whatever you desire when you pray, or whatever you ask when you pray, right then, you believe you receive it right then. And then he said, you'll have it. Don't have to worry about that part. That's me. That's my part. That's God's part. You don't have to be concerned about that. Just believe me. Believe my word. Take it. Receive it. Walk it out. Step out there when you believe it. Say, okay, here we go, Lord. I believe your word. I'm stepping out, and I know that you won't fail me. I will not fall. I will not go down because you've given me victory, and I receive that. Healing granted, peace, and victory. The work of the cross gave us victory, like I said, and our part is to receive it and walk in it and be so thankful that we have such a loving Savior and a mighty God that just absolutely steps into our lives in those places when we believe and changes everything. He's amazing. He's so good. Father, thank you so much for this time together with my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I do look forward to heaven when we get to visit together and enjoy each other's fellowship and company. And I thank you, Lord God, that I just sat here and listened so attentively and just drank in your word, because that's what matters. Lord, it's not me. It's not anybody that presents it. It's you. You get all the glory, Lord. You get all the praise because you're such a mighty God. And you went through so much for us to have that victory, the victory of the cross. And we respect that. And we honor you, Lord, with our love and our believing it and receiving everything you have for us. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.